Desire your prayers this morning. Lord, will bless. Sometimes, Lord gives us jobs to do that are not all that easy. But he expects us to be faithful to do it. My heart's desire is to be faithful. The scripture says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I have, as you all do, a lot of burdens on my heart. I'm very concerned about souls. People that are heading to the judgment seem like they're so unconcerned and indifferent. Thinking about several right now that I know that have been trifling with God for many years. Set under the sound of his word, the Holy Spirit has dealt with their souls and they still are not saved. Scripture says over there, and I believe it's the Song of Solomon, who said the summer has ended and we're still not saved. I believe it'll be that way when the judgment day comes. There's still going to be many souls that are not saved. But they're going to be accountable for what they've heard. They're going to be accountable for how they've lived. Now I can only say this morning to every one of us, and with a heart full of love for you, for souls, that we be very diligent in how we handle our life. As we all know, we don't know when the Lord's going to call for us. We don't know when the Lord's going to call us home, call us to our reward, whatever the reward may be. But he's going to call us one of these days. And the devil, as I heard this morning in Sunday school, is going to do everything he can to try to distract us, try to lead us astray. So, Lord, help us to be diligent. I'd like to just make a few remarks this morning. I was thinking about this now for some time. Obedience to God. You know that obedience to God, you know there's a lot in that. When God in his wisdom made us, made man, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he had made. I was telling someone the other day, we're just dirt. That's what we are. We've been made out of the dust of the earth. And that's what we're going back to. But God in his mercy and his love, he made us a twofold being, that he gave us a soul that will live on forever, somewhere out there in eternity. But when he made man and made us in the weakness of the flesh, he gave us the ability to choose, make choices in life. I look around me today and I see so many making foolish choices. The most foolish choice that I've see people making is rejecting God. That's foolish. Think about the young man in the scriptures where his bounty was plentiful and he didn't have a mind to give it to anyone, but he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. So I have room to bring everything into my storehouse. And then the scripture says, God spoke to him and said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. He didn't know that until the Lord told him. Tonight thy soul shall be required. Brother Ostis, and I've repeated this here before, when he was talking about that, he said, when God calls you a fool, you're a fool. I don't want to be that kind of a fool. I want to be ready. And I know that In order for me to be ready, I'm going to have to be obedient to His Word. There's no wiggle room in the Word of God. We might look for ways to get out of something because of something we want to do. We might look for scriptures to try to justify what it is that we want to do. The Lord told the Pharisees, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men." Well, I don't want to justify myself because that's not going to help me at the judgment. The words that He spoke is what's going to judge us in the last day. So I think about how God made man in His perfection, God's perfection, and He made man in His perfection, made him in His own likeness. And yet He still gave the ability to choose, and He set down some rules and regulations, if I can say it that way. The only real regulation that He had, you can eat of anything that you want to eat of in this garden except one tree. And wouldn't you know it, that's just the very thing that the enemy came to tempt her with, that one tree. You can do anything you want, basically. You're living in the Garden of Eden. You're pure, you've been made in my likeness, but yet you have a free will and a free choice, and you can do everything you want, but leave that tree alone. Well, we face the same devil today, folks. The devil knows what it is that's forbidden, doesn't he? And he comes to you and I all the time. I'm going to tell you right now, preachers are not exempt. He comes to every one of us trying to present the forbidden things to tempt us with it. Well, Eve, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and I think the 14th verse, said Eve was in the transgression because she was deceived by the enemy. I heard about being deceived in Sunday school. Adam was not deceived by the enemy, but Adam knew what he was doing when he did it. He knew it was wrong because he knew what God's commandment was too. He said, leave it alone. But it is obedience that us humans seem to struggle with. Don't you tell me what I have to do. Don't you set down guidelines and or rules and give direction of things and how I've got to live my life. Don't you tell me that. We kind of stiffen up at that, don't we? It kind of raises the hackles there back on our neck because you told me that I can't do that. Well, now that you've told me that, that's the very thing that I want to do. Now that the Lord had told him to leave that tree alone, that's the very thing that the enemy came along and tempted her with. Well, he's still doing that today. Obedience. God requires. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. God requires obedience from His people. He requires that. It's required of you and I, folks, by God. Remember when He said, when Jesus was here on earth and He was speaking there in Matthew 7:21, and He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who's going to enter? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It isn't what I say. Oh, I'm going to do this, and then I say I'm going to do it, and I go off and I get alone by myself. Nobody else is watching, and then I do what I want to do. God sees it, doesn't He? And God knows all about it. What it really is, it comes down to, is a condition of the heart, isn't it? I still don't believe disobedience was the first sin. I believe it was pride. The devil made that tree look so good and so desirable, and even make her as wise as gods. And he lied to her again and said, you'll not surely die. But God said they would, didn't they? And surely they did. Wasn't any funeral and there wasn't any burial, but I'll tell you, a man died right there in the Garden of Eden. Why? Because when she got lifted up in her pride, she disobeyed the commandment of God. I believe that's some of our biggest struggle today is pride. Getting lifted up and exalt, folks, we deal with that and don't even realize it. I'm not trying to shame anybody. I have to deal with it the same as you do. We deal with that. And the enemy uses that to try to get us to be disobedient. Heard Brother John and I was down in Tollesboro at the camp meeting Saturday, and Saturday morning I heard a wonderful message. Brother Marty brought a message on whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I tell you, it was good. It was rich. But one thing that I wanted to point out about his little message that he had, he talked about Naaman. Remember Naaman? He had leprosy, didn't he? And this little girl told him about a man of God. You go see him, he'll heal you of your leprosy. So eventually, y'all know the whole story, but he eventually went there and he's waiting for the man of God to come out and tell him what he needed to do. Some great thing that he needed to do. He was a great man, the Bible says. Highly exalted among the people and I'm sure within himself. So he's standing outside the gate and he's waiting for the prophet to come out. And the prophet says, Gehazi, go out there and tell him what he needs to do. He went into a rage. I came all this way. I came all this way to hear what the prophet had to say. And he sends a servant out to tell me, go dip in Jordan 7 times. And as I was listening to the message, and I got to thinking, you know, 7 times, the completeness in the Word of God. 1 time wasn't going to do it, was it? He went into a rage and he wasn't going to, Jordan, that dirty, nasty river Jordan, why there's good water over here and water over there, and you want me to go to Jordan? What is that? But it's man exalted in himself. I'm too good to do those kind of things. You're trying to belittle me. And one of his servants said, if he'd have asked you to do some great thing, you'd have been glad to go out and do it. Isn't that the way God deals with you and I? He just asks for you and I to humble ourselves. Submit to his commandments or his word. He doesn't ask you and I to do great things, folks. God is working to strip every one of us from our pride. Those things that make us think we're so great, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So eventually he goes out to the river Jordan, and I'm sure Brother Marty said he probably took off everything that he could take off decently because he didn't want to get it all muddy and dirty and filthy in the river Jordan. But he went out there and he dipped the first time, still had the leprosy. And as was pointed out, he could have dipped 6 times and quit, couldn't he? Would he still have the leprosy? He'd have still had it. Because God said, yeah, the man of God told him, but God told the man of God. This came down from God. God works through his servants. And I believe every time that he dipped, stripped him a little bit more of his pride. Can you imagine the people that knew that man gathered there on the seashore? Oh, I gotta see this. I gotta watch this. This man is so great. And he's so important. I gotta see this man get down in the mud. Reminds me of a story that was told years ago about a man that came to his friend of his and said he wanted to get saved. And he said, all right, let's go down to the pig pen and we'll just talk to the Lord. He said, I ain't going down no pig pen. Well, he says, you're not ready to get saved. Pretty soon after the Lord dealt with him a little more and a little more problems in his life, he came back and told the man, he said, I want to get saved. Let's go to the pig pen. The man says, we don't have to go to the pig pen. You're ready now. You're ready to meet the conditions. You're ready to humble yourself. Folks, it takes humility to follow God. Everyone got to find that humility somewhere. Submitting ourselves to God and what He tells us in His precious word. We got to find it. We better find it. If you want to make heaven, folks, you can only get up there by going down and getting humble before God. You know, when I think of God's word and all the direction that He gives us in the word, this is why the word of God is so valuable, folks. This is why we find our answers in the word of God. We can go ask someone else. We can go get counsel, and that's all right. We can get advice. And we can have people try to help us to understand, but the Word of God is our path to success. That's it. You want to be successful? You follow the Word of God and you obey it. Don't try to change it to fit you. But let the Lord change you to fit it. That's what we need to do, isn't it? Let the Lord change us. All right, I have a couple scriptures that I would like for us to read and look at. The first one's found in Deuteronomy, 4th chapter. God, He set His heart on the children of Israel. They were His people. And I believe that God sets His heart on His people today. God cares enough about me to tell me where the traps are and the pitfalls are. And to tell me the places that I need to stay away from. And His commandments and His statutes are so valuable and so precious to me. Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy is the last of Moses. They call the books of Moses. This book expresses a lot about obeying God. Moses is about ready to go off the scene. He even told him at one place, I believe it's the 28th chapter, when you get out there, and I'm gone, and you get out there over into the land of Canaan, and you take up those other gods, and you make you a golden god before you, and you fall before God, God's going to send His wrath down upon you. He told him, when you get there, you're going to do those things. It's the nature of men to disobey. Our prisons are full of them. People that don't want to obey the laws of the land. But the laws of God are so much more important. What if one of the apostles told him over there in the book of Acts, should we obey man rather than God? We need to obey God, don't we? There's value in it. There's much value in obeying God. Our blessings come from obeying God. Now, I won't take the time this morning to turn over to it, but you go over when you get the opportunity and you read some of the 28th chapter of this same book. 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. The first part of that chapter talks about all the blessings that God is going to bestow upon His people if they obey His word and keep His commandments. And the second half of that same chapter takes those same blessings and God says, if you disobey me, I will send a curse and I will curse you in every one of the same places that the blessings were coming from. Foolish to trifle with God. It's foolish to think you can get by with something. You can get by with me. I'm not your judge. You're not my judge. But folks, God is. God is. And we need, the Bible says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. And we need to fear God. I don't care how long you've lived on this earth. Brother John reminded me the other day, I tell you, we're saved, but we're not safe yet. The enemy has brought many a soul down right at the end of their life. It would be a terrible thing to get right up to heaven's door and find out that you missed it at the end, wouldn't it? That'd be a terrible thing. But it's a possibility if we're not on our guard and if we don't obey the Word of God. Now here's what the Lord said. Fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. Now therefore hearken. Listen. Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you might what? Live. That you might, my statutes and my judgment, you do them, and they're going to bring life to you. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? He said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then he went on to say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I want life, folks. That's what I want. There's been many loved ones and friends, family that has gone on before me that have been successful in this walk with the Lord. I want to meet them again someday and enjoy the blessings around the throne of God. I want to meet them. There's a couple sisters right here. Three sisters right here. Lost their companions. Just really in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years at the most. They want to meet them someday, don't you? You want to meet them someday. Well, I'm going to tell you how to do it. He said, those statutes and judgments that I teach you, do them that you might live. And go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. He wants us to possess this thing, folks. Statutes and judgments. His statutes to the children of Israel, back in their time, he was teaching them how to bring them to God in the day of the gospel dispensation of time. And he gave them statutes. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt do that, thou shalt not go do this, and thou shalt not. And the book of Leviticus is all about full of his laws and all the statutes that he gave them. He even taught them how to worship him, taught them how to build their altars and bring in their animals without blemish, told them how to cut them up, lay them on the altar, what to do with the blood, sprinkle it around the altar, lay blood on the horns and all the horns of the altar and all these kind of things. I give them to you. Folks, those things were valuable to them. And as soon as they turned away from them, they found out how valuable they really were. I give them to you that you might live. And then he said, I give you judgments. We have the law of the Lord, don't we? He's given us his law. And we have his judgments. He knows what is right. His judgments are righteous. His judgments are holy. His commandments, the Bible says, they're not grievous, but they are to be holy and righteous unto you and I. And you and I need to have a love for them. And we need to place them in our hearts and in our lives and love them and not kick against them. And not despise them, but to love his judgments. Then he went on to say, you shall not add unto the word which I command you. Why did he have to tell them that? I'll tell you what, folks, we just are never satisfied. Lord, I know you said this, but I want to do that. He said, don't add anything to it. Neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Folks, our blessings come from our obedience. And many times, maybe not every time, but we get in, well, every time, we get in trouble with God when we disobey Him. When we go against His word and against His will. You know, I was thinking as I was considering some of these thoughts, I've told people before, you know what you need to do. Just do it. You know, that's hard for some folks to do. Well, I know what the Bible says, but folks, you better get the buts out of it. If you know what the Bible says, that's what you need to do. It doesn't exempt me. It doesn't exempt any one of us. Don't add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Really, the only thing that makes this hard to do is flesh. The thing that makes this hard for every one of us is flesh, and flesh gets lifted up in pride. Lord, help us. I think it would be good for all of us. From time to time when we pray and seek the Lord, Lord, is there anything in me? Is there anything getting puffed up? Is there anything getting lifted up, Lord? Because I want to stay humble before you. And I want to keep your commandments. Then he went on to tell them some things. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among the people that followed those idols. God destroyed them because they didn't keep his commandments. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. In other words, you kept my commandments, I've given you life. I've taken good care of you. And God reminds them of that. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God, Moses is telling them this, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now what I believe he's telling me there is that if I will keep the Lord's word and hide it in my heart, and I will endeavor to live by that, it's going to send some proof out to others. This man is a man of God. Keep therefore and do them, because it will be your wisdom and understanding in the sight of all the nations. You know as well as I do, you've had the experiences the same as I have when you've been out in public and someone recognizes you're different. It isn't just the way you dress, but you're different. It's the demeanor that you have. It's how you take on life and take on the circumstances that come your way. People watch us, folks. Every one of us is being watched. All nations, it said, will see you and say, surely this great nation, these people, is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Is there any other nation? Is there any other people besides God's people, whoever they may be, that desires to keep and follow these commandments, these judgments, and these statutes? What nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? What nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments as so righteous as all this law? which I set before you this day. The thing of it is, God gave them righteous laws. And he judged righteous judgment. As long as they didn't turn to the idols, as long as they kept their eyes on the Lord, as long as they followed them wholly in their hearts and in their ways of living, God blessed them. God promoted them. God kept them. I've said before, as long as the children of Israel was a spiritual Israel, there was no one that could stand before them in battle, because God brought them through everything that he took them into. But he said in verse 9 only, God said, I'll do these things, and I've done these things. But now, you take heed to yourself. May the Lord help us all to take heed. You know, sometimes that's hard to do when you've been saved for a lot of years and you kind of get set in your ways and all that kind of stuff. But it'd be wise for me to take heed. To examine. Even the New Testament over in Hebrews says, let us examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. Take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently. I can't think, in all my almost 69 years now, I cannot think of any more time in my life where it's more important to be diligent about my soul. It's very necessary. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Are you forgetful? People forget things, don't we? That's why through the foolishness of preaching here, from week to week, we're all reminded of what the Word of God says, what God requires, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live, because we're forgetful. We get careless. We get neglectful, the Scripture says. Take heed, lest thou forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Forgetful? My. Was the children of Israel forgetful? Hadn't been that long since he divided the Red Sea. Since he brought them out of bondage, since he destroyed the enemy right behind them. Hadn't been that long since when they were hungry, he sent the quails, he sent the manna. He brought water out of the rock, and not just for the people, but for all the cattle and every one of them. Do you know there was over 1 million people come out of Egypt? And God took care of them. Sometimes we question God. God, I don't know about this. Can God take care of you? Yes, he can take care of you. It's only my place to submit myself to God and accept what he wants to do with me. There's the rub. Lord, I don't know if I can accept what you want to do with me. But we need to, folks. Especially the day that thou stoodest, verse 10, before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach them to their children. And you came near, stood under the mountain. You all remember that story? Where the mountains quaked, and fire come out of the mountain. He said the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. The Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you this covenant, which he commanded you to perform. Even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. I wonder this afternoon, I thought it was such a precious thought. It was a good thought. Are we willing to do whatever it takes? Lord, that's a hard thing. I don't know about this, Lord. I never expected this. And you know, really, that's kind of foolish talking, because there isn't any one of us here know what we're going to face before we leave here. But I'll tell you what we do know we need the Lord to be with us when we face it. We don't want to be without Him. I don't. I don't want to be without the Lord. I don't want to face life in this world without Him in my heart and in my life. He said, do them that you may live. I want to live. Not so much here, but I want to live with Him throughout eternity. I want to live. In Him is life. Life is in the Son of God, folks. Life is also in keeping the Word, keeping the commandments of God. He said, the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land, whether you go over to possess it. Now you think about, first of all, Old Testament patriarchs, people that you read about in the Old Testament. Some of them got in trouble, didn't they? Why? Because they disobeyed. God said, don't do that. And they did it. And they got in trouble. David, bless his heart, I identify with him a lot. He messed up a lot of times. He even told Joab, sent Joab, his commander of his armies, and said, don't number the people. You don't need to know how many people that we have to go out to war. God will fight our battles for us. And David insisted, I want to know how many soldiers that we have. Cost him. Cost the people. I think there was over 3,000. I may be coming short in my figures. I didn't read it lately, that lost their lives because of David's foolishness to disobey God. David, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who you are. You're going to be accountable for your actions. You're going to be held accountable. Old David got a visit from Nathan, the prophet, didn't he? But he's king. I'm king. I can do whatever I want to do. No, you can't. Do you know every one of us have a boss? You can't go out there and get a job without there being a boss out there on the job. Someone that you're accountable to. Well, folks, you may not have a husband or a wife, but you're still accountable to God. And you're accountable to His Word, whatever it teaches us. And it doesn't change for you, and it doesn't change for me. I'm accountable to the same thing you are. We all have a boss. Because there's rules here. There's guidelines to go by. You see, this is a good job, and we're going to offer it to you, but you can't do this and this and this, and you must do this, this, and this. We're all familiar with those things. I'd said here before, I said, I remember when I turned 21. I thought, I'm 21 now. I'm a man. I can do whatever I want, go wherever I want. And then I got married. So took care of all that. We're accountable to one another, see? We're all accountable to someone. We're all accountable to God. He said He gave us His statutes and judgments that we might live. If you will adhere to them, folks, you will live. You will live and you will have a blessed and a good life. Will there not be any sorrow in it? I'm not saying that. We've all had sorrow come into our life. That's part of living here in this world. But folks, if we'll keep the commandments and be obedient, there's a day coming where we'll never experience sorrow again. How about that? A time where we'll never sorrow again. I'd like that. A time where people don't disappoint us anymore. Was trying to do something this morning and just a simple little thing. And I said, Lord, why do I got to struggle with everything I go to do? Well, I find as I get older, there's a lot more of that than there used to be. But one of these days, no more struggling. No more sorrow. No more sadness. What a glorious day that will surely be. So the Lord's speaking here to His people, the children of Israel. But I want to read about someone else. 15th chapter. Another familiar character, story. 15th chapter, 1 Samuel. Saul. He was a king. You know, before I read that, I didn't finish my little thought about David being accountable to Nathan. Old David, he took another man's wife, didn't he? Then he sent Uriah out to be killed in battle. I guess it kind of looked like he got away with it. No, he was accountable to God, folks. God sent Nathan, told him a little parable. David got all bent out of shape because of what that man did, and Nathan said, you're the man. You disobeyed the law of God. I tell you how far David went. What he did was guilty of death. The law at that time, king or not, he was guilty to be stoned to death for taking another man's wife. That's why you read about his prayer in the 51st chapter of Psalms, begging God to have mercy. You know, we get in places sometimes because of our poor choices and poor judgments. And the only thing I know to do is to spread out my hands and say, Lord, have mercy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My foolishness. I disobeyed and now I'm going to find myself in trouble. But oh, I'm glad that we serve a merciful God. Okay, 15th chapter of Samuel, 1 Samuel. He also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken. Listen. That's what Moses said to the children of Israel. Listen unto the voice of the words of the Lord. So many times in the New Testament, you see where Jesus says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That means take it in, soak it in, get a hold of it. So you know what you're supposed to do. He said, hear the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Anybody in here don't understand those directions? Pretty plain, isn't it? Now here's the command, here's the word of the Lord. All Saul has to do is what? Obey. That's all he's got to do. Do what he's told, what the Lord said to do. And really, I find, in my years of living for the Lord, all I got to do is do what the Lord tells me to do. And if I don't know what that is, then I have a responsibility to get down before God and seek Him in prayer. Until I know what His will is. Until I know what He wants me to do. Because His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than mine. He sees the future. He sees tomorrow. I surely need His direction and His guidance in my life, don't I? He said, again, destroy. Utterly. That means completely, totally. Destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Saul gathered the people together. Okay, I got the message. I got the word straight from God now. Here's what Saul did. He gathered the people together and he numbered them in Telaim. 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. That's a lot of people. A lot of soldiers. Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley, and Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. I'd say the Kenites had a fear. They had, you know, Israel didn't go without a reputation. The people in those lands in that day, they saw what their God was doing for them. Isn't that what he told them over in Deuteronomy? You keep my commandments, I'll be there for you. Don't diminish them. Don't add to them. Just my command. Don't use your human, worldly wisdom. You just follow me and do what I tell you to do. That's all Saul had to do here. Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur. That is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Getting off track here, isn't he? That's not what God told him to do, folks. You ever had something hard to do? I know a little bit about hard to do. I know a little bit about difficult missions, shall I say? Things that God had us to do over the years. He took Agag, the king, alive. But he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now you go back to the third verse. Is that what God told him to do? Smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not. But Saul in verse 9, and the people spared Agag and the rest, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. Folks, you're going down a wrong path when you go that way. It cost him. You cannot disobey God and not pay a price. God will see to it, folks. He is a just God, and we will be held accountable for our disobedience. Well, they saved the best of the sheep, the oxen, of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Kind of added to it a little. Lord, I just added to it a little bit here. I just changed it a little bit. I got rid of all the vile stuff, but I saved the best of the cattle. Then of course we go on down, we find out, well, we saved the best of the cattle that we might be able to make offerings unto you, Lord. God didn't require that, did he? He take no spoils. Don't take anything. Utterly, completely destroy. And old Saul took it upon himself to do it his way. That's what people are doing today. They're living life their way instead of God's way. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. Uh-oh. It's time to pay up now, Saul. Here comes the man of God. Here comes God's servant. It repenteth thee, me. This is what God said. The word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. So Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Folks, I know you know what this says, what it teaches, but it's a reminder to every one of us today. You can't change God's plan, folks. You can't change His word. You know, some people live life this way. It's either my way or the highway. Well, let me tell you, it's God's way. Or it's the wrong way. You take your way, and it'll be the wrong way. I have performed the commandment of the... Boy, that took a lot of... I don't know what. Pride. It took a lot to tell the man of God, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. No, he didn't. He did part of it. The plan of salvation is a complete plan. God has given us salvation. He's given us deliverance. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And we are to seek every bit of that in order to sustain us and keep us in this world that we live in today. I performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, then what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowering of the oxen which I hear? And Saul's, now here we go. Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. The blame game has been going on ever since Adam and Eve. She said, Lord, that serpent... Adam said, this woman that you gave me. Blame's been shifting ever since, back and forth. At the judgment, you and I'll be without excuse. You can't blame no one because it's not going to work that way. When I get there, and the Lord say, if the Lord would say unto me, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I can't blame you. I can't blame anyone except myself. Lord, help me to be diligent to make my calling and election sure. That's what the scripture says. So he begins to explain it to Samuel. Now Samuel knows what God said. He's the one that told Saul. Saul knows what God said too. Now here's guilt beginning to talk a little bit. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on, I don't know, the way that I feel in my relationship with God, I've been shaking in my shoes about that time. I don't know how Saul was. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, that have to do with humility? Does that have to do with any pride, folks? When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel when you were little? Folks, don't forget where you started from. If you're saved today, don't forget what God saved you from. And if you make it, don't forget what it's going to take for you to make it. It isn't you. We got our work to do, yes, but it's the blood of Jesus that He'll be looking for on that great day of all days, is His precious blood. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. And he said, the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? It's evil to disobey the Lord, folks. It's wrong. It puts us in a very difficult and hard place when we're disobedient and we don't do what we know we ought to do. Most of us in here, all of us in here know what we need to do. We just got to do it, don't we? Saul knew what he needed to do. The prophet told him what he needed, what God wanted him to do, and he didn't do it. His kingdom was taken away. Saul said unto Samuel, even after all that, oh Saul, he had to have been lifted up a little bit. He wasn't little now in his own sight. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Excuses. Excuses is all it was. Because it certainly isn't what God told him to do. Do you know at the end of this chapter, which we'll not get to, Samuel had to finish the work that God told Saul to do. Samuel had Agag brought in, and he took Agag's life. That's what God said to do in the first place. But it was left up to the prophet to take Agag's life. Samuel said, verse 22, important, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Oh, but we got all these wonderful animals to make sacrifice unto thy God, he said. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now here is what we need to see, the real seriousness of disobedience. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Wow. Hit him right between the eyes, folks. He hit Saul right between the eyes. If Saul didn't feel any guilt then, he never would feel any guilt. When he began to tell him what he had really done and what caused him to do what he did, rebelled against the word of God. You know, sometimes things look so simple and easy to explain, but what is the bottom line? What causes us many times not to obey the word? It's rebellion. Don't we live in a rebellious generation today? We live in a rebellious time today. People don't care, don't want to hear the word of God. The sin of witchcraft. It's the sin of worshiping devils. It's the sin of getting down on the level of hell and all the imps and things that are in it. It says, it's as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is an iniquity and adultery. Would you say Saul was stubborn? I'll say one thing for him. He was disobedient. He didn't do what the Lord told him to do, but he was held accountable for it. And he said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, finally, Saul gets the message. Let me ask you something. You think it was easy for Samuel to stand there and tell Saul those things? Having been in some pretty tough places, I don't think it was easy. Samuel loved Saul. Samuel's the one that anointed him king. I don't think it was easy for him to say it, but he did it. He stood there and he face to face with Saul and he told him what God told him to tell him. And then Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Wow. First thing he said was, I've kept the commandments of the Lord. Now he realizes, and now he recognizes how serious this is. He said, I've sinned, for I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And oh, this had to be so hard. Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Samuel told him that the Lord has rent, verse 28, the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to your neighbor of thine. Folks, I have a picture that I keep, seems like lately, so much in my mind of the day of all days that we all stand there. It'll be more serious than this one. That we all stand there before God to give an account. You can stand there and say, I've done it. Lord, I did it. You told me to do this. You told me to do that. But I also told you to do this. It's the same thing that Jesus berated the Pharisees for. He said, you tithe, you mint, you rue, but you forsaken all these other things. These things should you have done and kept the other things also. It's important that we keep the commandments. I'm not your judge. No one here is a judge of another man. No one. But he is. You know what he's going to judge us by? It says over in, isn't it Luke, I believe? It's either Luke or John, 12th chapter. The words that I've spoken unto you, the same shall judge you. Saul, Samuel was faithful to tell Saul what he needed to do. The words that were spoken to Saul, those same words judged him, didn't they? They judged him. May the Lord help us today. I tell you, one fellow in the scriptures where Jesus was giving us a parable, one fellow saw him as an austere man, an austere God. I see him as the scripture says, behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God. He will be severe when it comes to you and I in keeping his word. But he will also be merciful to you and I for repentance. For a humbling of heart and mind and spirit, God will be merciful. And I am so glad that I know a God. He's not austere. Oh, Daniel, when he prayed in the 9th chapter of Daniel, he said, oh, great and dreadful God. I know what he meant. I know why he said that. He's a great God, but folks, he requires for you and I to keep his word. He requires, it's commanded, obedience. May the Lord help us. Be watchful, be prayerful, be careful. You step out to go do something and you know that God's disapproval is on it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because you're not going to, as Dale, what was it, a track years ago? You're not going to do wrong and get by. You're just not going to get by. Not with God. He's the all-seeing eye. But I'm so glad to know today that he loves us. God loves us so much that he sent his son into the world. Jesus loved us so much that he died for us. I'm grateful for that sacrifice. I'm grateful for that love today. Let's all be faithful. Just be obedient to what we know and understand. Amen.